Tomorrow, Woman's Hour is here with a programme about the women of Ambridge. The Archers is 70, as you'll know. And your host tomorrow is the brilliant Felicity Finch, who, of course, plays Ruth Archer in The Archers. She is here tomorrow, 10:02. Now, journalist, How to Fail podcaster and fantastic writer Elizabeth Day is here. Well, you have been. You were a bit weepy earlier on, but you've pulled yourself together.
I've been moved to tears and to laughter during this programme. You have been sitting there stony-faced, ever the professional,
totally.
Not moved by decomposing dolphins.
No.
But can I just say, it's such a privilege to be here, and it is so typical of you, Jane, that you've made your final programme all about the listeners and not about you. I'm going to change that now.
Oh, good. I'm secretly pleased about that.
Everyone knows that you're a phenomenal journalist, but listeners are particularly going to miss your self-deprecating style and the way you make everyone laugh. We've put together just a small selection of some of your most memorable moments. The sultry Spanish accent you hear in the middle is the slightly bewildered Penelope Cruz.
Now, I make a cup of tea. First thing I do every single morning of my life, I'm afraid to say, I lob in a bag, a sweetener and the milk, and then the hot water. That's appalling, is it?
Oh, Nancy Mitford would just disown
you. What she'd think of me, yes, go on. What are you going to make for us today then? In fact, you can go over now to your very elaborate chopping table that we've set up for you there.
It is a salad, Jane, I'm afraid.
Oh. No, sorry.
Only because it's terrible to cook anything in here, so I thought something that I could toss together would be better.
Yes. I mean, the trouble is, salad. I never crave a salad. Now, are you seriously going to tell me that you can put me in a situation where I am fantasising about eating a salad?
This is a salad of watercress, fennel, oranges, feta, and then honeyed almonds.
Honeyed almonds? I have to say, and I'm going to be really honest with you, I think you're a fabulous cook. I think some of the salad ideas in this new book strike me as being just... I'm thinking about myself, 5:40 in the evening, trying to cobble something together for the tea at 6 o'clock. I'm a northerner, we're early eaters. Some of the ingredients I'd never heard of.
What, really? Like what?
Well, I mean, some of the CD pulsy things.
I mean, nearly all supermarkets have those now, Jane. You're just
okay,
not
so I'm just
the
being
right
lazy.
Place. You're at the chocolate aisle.
I'm at the hollow Easter novelty item aisle. That's where I am.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain.
Indoor relationship. Am I being naive, or is that... I mean, I know people have indoor cats. I know I'm going to be told off because I'm straying into cat areas again, and it's not good.
Of which I'm certain.
You actually lived in London, didn't you, for quite some time when you were making this
yes,
film?
Yes, in Belsize Park.
Yeah, I can't imagine you in London somehow.
I love that area. Yeah, and I love London. The only thing that is hard for me is the weather because, you know, I'm Spanish and we are used to have a lot of sun.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's the whole Spanish way of life where you get up late, you eat late at night.
But that's not true. Spanish people cannot wake up late every day like everybody thinks. Everybody works, everybody has dinner later.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Well, how would people work if everybody
did that? Well, that's what I don't understand. I've been to Spain and people are going out to eat at 11 o'clock at night.
Yes, and maybe the shops open at 10 instead of at 8. You know, the schedule is a little bit later, but the same amount of hours of work are accomplished.
Okay, so did you transport your Spanish way of life to Belsize Park then?
To everywhere I go.
Do you?
I still can't have dinner, not when I'm in America or anywhere else. I can't have dinner at 6 p.m. No.
You just can't do it?
That's not for me, no.
No, I eat at 5:30.
What?
I know, I just don't care, I'm starving.
But then at what time do you go to sleep?
About 9.
And then you wake up at 6?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew.
Curtis, you're about to get the opportunity of a lifetime.
I've had a lot of them recently, actually.
Oh, yeah. But this is going to be... Because I want you to attempt to teach me
to do a couple of extremely simple dance steps.
Absolutely.
All health and safety has been taken care of here. We've got a sensible surface. I'm not in the most sensible of shoes, but they're not my highest either. And I'm going to hand over to everybody else while I slip over with you to the mat.
Basic cha-cha.
Oh, it just couldn't be any more basic. It's got to be the most basic cha-cha-cha.
It will be very basic. Don't you worry at all.
All right, let's go over there. Shirley, I would like you to slip into commentator mode.
And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing.
Plenty of you wanted to know the conclusion of the frozen eyeball story, and the good news is he's fine, and his eyeballs are defrosted. And even as I say that, I just think... he was okay. I should have asked. Another failure of what passes for my journalism, but sometimes time is against us, she said, covering her tracks.
Is there another pair of boots you haven't discussed? Forgive me, I got so lost in that moment there that I've slightly lost track of the boot conversation, but carry on.
My third pair was the pair of running shoes. I was supposed to lead an Everest marathon trip this year on the 29th of May, which is the date that Tenzing Hillary summited Everest. Unfortunately, due to the pandemic, that was cancelled. I did run my marathon here in Wiltshire, so I have run a marathon, yes. And I hope to do it in 2021.
I seem to be speaking to a lot of women this week. We talked to Pip Hare, who's doing the Round the World Sailing Race yesterday, and I come away just thinking, you know, I'm happy if I've gone to Greg's and come back successfully.
She looks a little nervous. The head is a little bit tilted there. She needs to get that posture a little bit.
Side four.
Oh, but she completed the step. Never use the same foot twice, darling.
Think of dancing as like walking. It literally is. Left, right.
Always change weight. Right, one foot to the other.
For the sake of the nation's sanity, right. You know, just let's go to the music.
Here's a backhanded compliment from John, who says, I may be getting boring, but this was another interesting and relevant programme this morning. Thanks.
Oh. And we heard there from Penelope Vogler, Diana Henry, Penelope Cruz, Curtis Pritchard, Shirley Ballas and Valerie Parkinson. And, of course, the inimitable Jane Garvey.
Yes. Actually, I am going a bit wobbly now, but then we're having a drink.
We are.
We are now having a drink.
We've moved on to that stage.
Drink.
Proceedings. Now, yeah. You've been here for 13 years at the helm, and you're leaving in the midst of a pandemic. Mm. How are you feeling right now?
Genuinely, this has been one of the toughest decisions of my life. And the reason I'm going is because I could have stayed. And I sometimes think the hardest thing is to change when it's actually the last thing you want to do, but probably the best thing to do. It's the best thing for the programme, which is, I really do mean it when I say that I think I love radio. I've loved radio all my life, and I've been so, so fortunate to have a job doing the thing that actually I will go home today and I will listen to the radio for the rest of today and all of tomorrow and all of the day after. I just love live radio. But Woman's Hour is one, it's not just a radio programme, it's one of the radio programmes. And I've had the chance to do it. And it's just been an amazing privilege. But the programme needs to move on, and now it can. And that's good.
You've changed Women's Hour, but how has Women's Hour changed you, do you think?
Oh, my goodness. I have learnt so much. I have learnt so much about the social history and about women's lives. You know, the terrible truth, and it is always terrible, is that when I came to Women's Hour, I knew about feminism and I was a feminist. But I'm not sure I really saw I'd wanted to be a radio presenter and I'd become a radio presenter. And so I'd think, what are people complaining about? And during the course of this cataclysmic 13 years on Women's Hour, I have learnt that actually, for all sorts of reasons, women have to be that bit better. We have to try harder. It's going to be a bit tougher for us. And I really am glad that I've been able to play a small part in just opening up a whole range of conversations. We have had some eye-watering conversations on this programme, and completely frank and completely honest ones. And you can interview all the celebrities on earth, and you know this, and some of them are great and some of them aren't so great. The conversations you remember are like the ones we had this morning with the listeners and talking about their real lives. That's what the listeners to this programme really like, I think.
I think one of the things that the listeners also value is your authenticity, which is a much overused word, but I think authenticity comes with a certain degree of confidence. Do you think you're confident?
Oh, God.
Because you're always yourself. You're the same off air as you are on air. And that's a very rare quality,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I think it's relatively unusual. It's not unknown in broadcasters. It's relatively unusual. I love doing this. And I know that I can do this. However, that's not something I could apply to many other areas of my life. So, but this, I have been, again, to go back to that, I've been so lucky to do the thing I can do and do it for a living. So, in general, not confident, no, but I know what I can do.
Mm. And we talked about what you will miss. What won't you miss?
Timings. People like the woman next door, who's already gearing up to shout, 44 minutes, 30 seconds. That's what I won't miss. And apart from that, I can't think of anything that I won't miss about this programme. The listeners are remarkable. There's such a cross-section. We've got men who listen. We've got men who listen to be annoyed. We've got men who listen to learn about women and the women in their lives, and that's brilliant. And I know they're hugely welcome. Our female audience ranges in age from, 19 to 103. We get emails from women in their 90s. We get just such a cross-section of experience and point of view. And I absolutely love that. And also, our listeners are genuinely unshockable. We talk about all sorts of stuff. Very, very rarely do they complain about any of it or raise any concerns about what they've heard. They are interested. They are open. They are the backbone of the nation. And I'm so proud to have been a part of it. But I have to say that I really need to thank those people who, over the last year, have come in and kept this programme going. It's not been easy at times. And I want to thank the studio managers who've saved me from myself on more occasions than I care to remember, from my colleagues who've come in, particularly during the last couple of months when it's been really tough. And central London in April and May were not easy places to be. And I know people have really put themselves out. And then, of course, there are the people who've been working from home as well during this time, faces I just see now on Zoom, haven't seen them since March. Lots of love to them too, and thank you for keeping us going. And to the listeners for sticking with us as well, because it's not been easy for them either.
Well, I know that they will want to thank you very much too. Just very quickly, it was inaccurately reported somewhere that you were retiring, but you are a mere whippersnapper. So what's next?
What is next? Well, I am doing a new interview series for Radio 4 in the new year, which will happen hopefully in the spring. And everything is going to be better in the spring. We know that, so that will be good. Also, fortunately, the podcast that I cobbled together with Little Fee Glover is coming to Radio 4 as well. And so we have got lots of interesting stuff going on. But the most important thing to emphasise is that Woman's Hour is, I will now be forever known as a former presenter of Woman's Hour. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, is absolutely fine. I'll settle for that.
Thank you, Jane Garvey, so much for everything you've done and everything that you are.
Elizabeth, thank you very much indeed for coming in. I can hardly thank her enough, actually, for saying that. No, I really appreciate it. And to the listeners, it's a shame in many ways I'm leaving just as some of you are getting used to me, because it can't be said enough that listeners to Radio 4 are somewhat change resistant, as am I as an individual. But change can be really positive. Woman's Hour is here tomorrow. It's back on Monday. Good luck to Emma Barnett as well, because she's going to be an astonishing and tremendously capable presenter of this really important programme. So stick with us. We'll be back at 10:02 tomorrow morning. And again, of course, throughout next week and indeed forever. Now, once more with feeling the drama, the mystery of Edwin Drood, Kate Dickens is left alone to continue her father's story.
We had a conversation a few days before.